Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I ask, Father, please, that as we are gathered in your house with the privilege to be here, I pray, Father, that you will bless again our time together and that you will bless us with your presence, Father. That's what we desire, to see you, to meet with you, and to worship you here and now in this place. I just pray, Father, you accomplish this and glorify your Son's name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of today's song is Dance in the Rain. Let's watch this clip. Why am I watching I'm singing in the rain? Does anybody wonder why? Did anybody get an idea what that's about regarding the message? Good. Nobody's got it. That's great. So as we look at this, think about this movie, the whole content of the movie was that they were going from silent film to talking films. They were actually called talkies. And they had a conflict because the voices of the stars of the movie, and here one voice in particular, the lead role for one of the women, had a voice that was that would make the chalkboard cringe. So we need to understand that they had to figure out, what are we going to do about this star couple when the girl in the couple can't sing, and when she does again, it's not pretty. So they had to come up with a solution, and they did. They overlaid it with the voice of the guy that was singing, Gene Kelly, his girlfriend in the movie. She overlaid it with her voice, which is very good. So the point is that we can look at the trouble that's facing us or confronting us, and we can choose to do one of two things. We can sit and be upset about the circumstance and not move forward, or we can look at the circumstance and move forward with the right attitude. And so it's all about attitude, and we need to look at that. The rain will come into our lives, we know that. So the typology here is that the rain is the trouble in our lives, so we're gonna have rainy days in our lives, but we can still sing and dance in the rain. There's something about the Holy Spirit, the closeness of God, that enables us to have that peace that we can't generate, that the world can't give us in times that our world is just coming down in rain. There are times that we, in the midst of things, without even knowing it, that our heart spiritually will be lifted in Christ. And so the choice is to sing and to dance in the midst of it as we cling to Christ. And I know it sounds kind of a little idealistic, but the reality is that, again, we choose how we're going to respond to our circumstances. And that's important for us to remember. God wants us to be happy because God is on our side and he's in our lives. God is before us, like I said last week, he can't, you know, nothing can stand against us, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the tenacity to make ourselves get up and go again when we've been knocked down is a choice. Is a choice. The tenacity to make ourselves get up and go again when we've been knocked down is a choice. Sure, sometimes we get knocked down, we need a little time, but don't allow that time to cement us in a place where we are stuck. Let us make the choice to not stay down. Johnny Erickson, how do you say her last name? Katata? She's diving accident when she was a teenager, broke her neck, quadriplegic from the shoulders down, the neck down. And I can't imagine being a teenager thinking, what am I going to do with my life? I'm from here down, I can do nothing. But you know, and I know, those of us that know her, she's an author, she's a painter, she's married, she's used of God to present the truth of God's word and to encourage others in the midst of her testimony, of her life. And so she made a choice to move forward. The willingness to face a challenge, even though we don't have any idea on how we're going to overcome that challenge, is rooted in one thing. It's rooted in our belief that God will provide a way for us to get over the challenge, to get through the challenge. Philippians 4:19 tells us, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All of our needs God will meet. That doesn't mean that all the needs we want will be met. But God will meet all our needs. He knows exactly what we need. When change comes, resilience is what keeps us going forward. Believing you have the power to make a choice is the core of being resilient. Do you want to be resilient through difficult times? Do you want to not be knocked down and stay down through difficult times? Do you want to move forward in your life and in your future as God intends for you to do? Do you want to learn in your spirit in Christ to dance in the rain? Dance in the midst of the trouble. God can give us that peace. God can give us that joy to move forward. So the unknown seasons that weigh us down in life are because we're tempted to borrow tomorrow's trouble. There's an old saying, I'm sure you've heard it before, worrying is like a rocking chair, it never gets you anywhere. The saying's true, but I can rock in a rocking chair and make a few, I can get out of my space. But the point is that we stay there and we rock back and forth worrying about tomorrow. And one of the things we need to remember is that today's a day that the Lord has given us. We don't have tomorrow in the bag. Today's the day that God has given us. And in this day, we're to take this day with the grace that God gives us and live it the best we can for him. And as God gives us another day, every day, we continue to do the same thing, then we'll find ourselves getting through the challenges that face us. And we'll also find us embracing the future that lays in front of us. In Matthew 6:34, it says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I like the sarcasm in there. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. let it deal with itself. We're not at tomorrow yet, is what's being said here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do we find ourselves sometimes thinking about what's going to happen to America, what's going to happen in our churches, what's going to happen, and fill in the blanks, or whatever's going on in your life? What's going to happen tomorrow? Satan will use that oftentimes to get our focus off of today, the day that God's given us to rejoice in, to live faithfully in him, to follow him, to just focus on tomorrow, and tomorrow's not even here yet. And the scriptures made it plain. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. And so I think that, obviously, being God's word is great, great advice for us. For sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So though many of us are living in an unknown season right now in our lives, and we've seen it on the news, or so many that have lost jobs, or so many schooling issues between teachers parents and families, and let's not forget most of all the children and the adjustments that they're making. There's supply shortages. I mean, our own grocery stores aren't as stocked as we are used to having them to be stocked. And sometimes we go in there looking for something, we don't find it, or we don't find the quality that we were getting. Okay, we don't need to worry or focus on the what ifs of tomorrow, because the what ifs of tomorrow could possibly hold us from moving forward. You get that? We can paralyze ourselves with the what ifs of tomorrow and keep us from moving forward as God intends for us to move forward. We need to be resilient in the face of the unknown season and focus on today's issues and go to God with them. We need to stop the what-if scenario making in our heads about what tomorrow might hold. We can find ourselves sitting in that rocking chair worrying about the what-ifs of tomorrow and losing the day that we're living in. And we have to be careful that we don't do that. Instead, what we need to do is go talk to God about it and ask God to give us the grace to be the people he wants us to be in the day that we have, that we're living. And so maybe you're not in an unknown season. Maybe you're facing failures in your life. Maybe you're reflecting on how you feel you let yourself down. Or maybe the failures are dragging you down and preventing you from moving forward. So we don't need to hold on to old baggage and allow it to weigh us down from moving forward and being the people that God wants us to be. Again, it kind of goes back to the movie. It's a rainy day and he's singing in the rain, but the rainy day is a typology of the trouble that's come and it's surrounded him and it's dark and it's ugly, but he chose to sing in the rain, and we have a choice. We can mope in the rain or we can rejoice in the rain, because that's the day that God has given us. And it's easy said, but when we go to God in counsel and we lean on him and rely on him and know his compassionate, tender love for each one of us, we'll find ourselves having that peace and that joy in our lives. Now, did you know that the invention of the light bulb was a culmination of thousands of experiments? Okay, here's what Edison said. Thomas Edison said, quote, "I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways, I like this, will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work." Thomas Edison. I mean, talk about resilience. Talk about patience. Okay, this is 999 and it still didn't work, so good. It wasn't just, okay, let's try again. It was good. I know that method didn't work, so I'm going to try another method. You wouldn't think there would be so many methods. But he kept trying until he succeeded. And I think that is what we need, that in each day that we keep trying to be what God wants us to be in him, and God's enabled each one of us to do just that. Edison didn't let his failures or the failures that he faced in this thought of making electricity prevent him from moving forward with his inventions. And if he did, where would we be today if electricity wasn't invented? And so I think, you know, it's kind of like a passive statement, if you will, but maybe we should be thinking along the lines of, if we weren't resilient in certain circumstances, what effect would our life have on those who are being touched by our lives? Does that make sense? So our resiliency to whatever we're facing in our life is a choice on how we're going to respond. Are we going to respond in the joy of the Lord, taking one day at a time, or are we going to allow that to keep us from embracing the future that we have? Because what we live and where our faith stands is not just our own effect. It affects all those that our lives come in contact with. So we can't let failures in our life keep us from moving forward. We need to be resilient and keep moving forward. You know, I wonder about Corrie Ten Boom when she met the guy that was the primary military soldier, Nazi, that was so aggressive toward her and her sister and the prison camp and so many others. When she met him at a conference, she had spoke and did public speaking, and he came up to her and shook her hand, and she recognized his face, and he asked her, "Would you forgive me?" And she took her back. Not just in thought, but took her back. And she realized, God forgave me, I can forgive them. She made the choice not to allow the baggage of the past to keep that person from moving forward. And she helped them to embrace the future. So maybe a tragedy has hit us hard. Maybe a natural disaster has wiped out everything. Maybe a death of a loved one has stopped us in our tracks. Everyone needs time to heal. Everyone needs the time to heal from hardships, heartache, but they can't. We should choose not to allow those heartaches and disasters in our lives, if you will, keep us from moving forward. So some of you remember Christopher Reeve. How many of you remember? Obviously, most of you remember Christopher Reeve. And he was Superman from the late 70s and 80s, right? On May 27th, 1995, Reeve was tragically left a quadriplegic. He was thrown from his horse in an equestrian competition. He broke his neck, like Johnny, okay? Like Johnny Erickson, cantata. A few years after the accident, he said, "I find it best to think," now this is Reeves, okay? This is Christopher Reeve saying this. "I find it best to think, well, what can I do today? Is there something I can accomplish, a phone call I can make, a letter I can write, a person I can talk to that will move things forward in his life and in their life? To feel like he's doing something productive in any way that he can, and to make a difference in someone else's life as well." Those are the attitudes that move us from one place to the other, that we are allowed to embrace the future and not be stuck in the past or our present circumstances. And so Christopher Reeve, you know, he had a resilient attitude. He acknowledged the reality of his situation. God didn't take him out of the situation. He left them there in that situation, but he never, let me clarify, God will never leave us nor forsake us, but he allowed the situation to remain. He didn't reverse it, but that reality doesn't have to stop you from moving forward, and it didn't stop Christopher Reeve. Even though he couldn't use his arms or his legs, he still knew that he had other things to do in this life. And I think that's why God in his scripture tells us that the older, the elderly, as we get older as Christians, that when we find ourselves in a place that we really don't feel like we can be productive and do much anymore, Audrey, she prayed. You know, prayer warriors, pillars of faith, examples of being prayer faithful, prayer warriors, interceding and standing firm on your faith. That's still something that is a decision to do at a stage in your life when you feel you can't do much. So no matter where we're at, no matter what situation we're in, even if we're bedridden, if we're conscious, God can use us to at least pray. And so we can always find something that God would have us to do for the day that he's given us to keep us moving forward. Resilience comes with the determination to go with what you've got left. It's not what you lost, but what remains that matters. So what do we have that enables us to use so we can move forward in our life circumstances? William was preaching a message in Spanish, and I was thinking about all of the Puerto Rican families that he has and friends that he has, and all the hurricanes they've gone through and the earthquakes constantly and all of that. And I'm thinking about this, to encourage them and what they have and not what they've lost, and then use it for God. So resilience is not wishful thinking. It's not positive thinking in the sense I'm gonna positively think myself through something. And it's not denial. Resilience is the ability to optimistically view the future even when the worst has happened. And I think that's only possible through Christ. Because without Christ, a lot of people don't obviously have hope. But our hope is in Christ Jesus. And as long as we're living here, he has a purpose for us, and he has a way for us to pursue him and the future that he has for us. So, remembering that when hard things happen, God doesn't turn his back on us. Even in his goodness, God doesn't necessarily change our circumstances. Vivian Green, she's an author, she wrote, quote, "Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain." Isn't that interesting? Another reference to Dancing in the Rain, right? And I think, if anything, when I walk away from this message, is that I think that imagery in my head, not Gene Kelly dancing, but the image in my head is the concept of, in the midst of the storm, no matter how hard the rain comes down, by God's grace, I can learn to dance in the rain. I can learn to rejoice in Him in all things. And so God can give us that, where we can't get it ourselves, but we can rely on God for that grace. So resilience is choosing life anyway, making a choice to move forward no matter what goes on in our lives. And circumstances should not rule our lives, nor should our emotional status rule our lives either. Circumstances and emotions should not rule our lives. Proverbs 25:28 says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." We leave ourselves totally vulnerable when we allow our circumstances and our emotions to control us. When we don't allow our circumstances and emotions to control us, and we rely on the power, the grace, the strength, the love, the peace, and the counsel of the Holy Spirit in our life, then we keep those walls up, and we keep ourselves from being mowed over that much more by the enemy. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." I mean, that's the paradigm. And that's a focal point that you and I should maintain in our Christian walk, is to remember that we're called to do what God calls us to do each day by His power through us as we live for Him. Every day is to be lived for Christ. And we're also called to remember that, obviously, as we've heard many times, this is not our home. And I will tell you something interesting. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize that statement is true. The tangibility of this world is real. But the closer we get to Jesus, the more we know in our spirit, this is not my home. My home is there. And so God has us on mission, each one of us, to live each day for Him, with the focal point being where our home is, and that's being with Jesus. The world and all that is in it is temporary, and none of it should control or dominate us. Keep your eyes fixed on the future we have in Christ, and let that control our emotions, decisions, and life in the here and now. If you're not focused on Christ and what He has for us in the future, joint heirs with Christ, everything the Father has for Jesus, he allows us to take part in that as well. That we're given joint heirs with Christ, new bodies, rewards that He's given us, honor and power that He gives us in Him. He gives us so much beyond our comprehension. That's what's waiting for us. But when we are focused with the reality that one day everything's going to be made absolutely right, and God is going to bless us beyond our comprehension and equip us to be the people that He's called us to be beyond our comprehension this side of heaven, then it helps us to focus on that. When we're looking at the future, this is not our home, that God has a plan and a purpose for me now, but God has a greater plan and purpose for me there and then and forevermore. So keep your eyes fixed on the future we have in Christ, and let that control our emotions, decisions, and life in the here and now. So if our priorities are spiritual, focusing on God's will for us daily, focusing on what God has promised to give us yet to come, then that'll hinge on what decisions we make in life as being the most important. It's the most important: power, money, prestige, a name, success, whatever. Or is the most important thing as a believer to be faithful and obedient to God and His will for our life on a daily basis until we get home? See, and that's what we have to decide. But if it's on the spiritual focus, my priority is to live my day that God's given me for Him and to keep focus on what He's promised me already. And if we live that way, then the values of this world become less prominent and this world also becomes less important to us. In Hebrews 11:16, we have a list of faithful believers in Christ, in the Holy One that was to come from the Old Testament point of view, the Messiah, and for us in the New Testament, Christ the Messiah as well. And so we have a testimony in Hebrews chapter 11, and in particular verse 16, of those who were faithful to God in the day that God gave them, each day God gave them, and their future perspective that God would have them to focus on to help enable them and carry them through the challenges of life. It says this, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Abraham looked for that heavenly city made by the hands of God. He knew it was going to come, and it is. You and I know that when we die, we're going to be with the Lord. You and I know that we could very well be part of that special group that doesn't even face death, that we're raptured and taken up into heaven in our life. We don't know. But what's key is that we are faithful to God and that we keep that future perspective and live each day for the Lord as he calls us to. That's what those faithful believers in Christ did in Hebrews chapter 11. And they were listed there to encourage us and to help us to remember to be faithful and to appreciate each day and keep our sights on what's to come and not the rain or the circumstance that we're in the middle of today, and to rejoice as God would have us to. And so we don't want to ignore the obstacles or problems. We're not to dismiss them as not being real, but we are to pursue a right attitude with the challenges. Now I'm thinking about the circumstances that we face today in America, and it's a little bit of a side rabbit, but I'm not going to be there long. But I was reading a book entitled Courageous, and Dr. Jeffress, pastor in Dallas, Texas. And he was writing, he said, there's three things. He says, if you're going to stand as we're standing, we're making a silent protest, if you will. We're making a peaceful protest by being here today. But he says, if you're going to stand, make sure, one, that you stand on solid biblical truth. One. Two, if you stand on solid biblical truth, make sure that you understand that there can't be consequences that aren't good. And three, make sure that you behave in a gracious and respectful manner. That's important, because the circumstances that we face today, we are to look at those, this rainy day, if you will, as a time period that we have a choice of the right attitude. Our right attitude in Christ Jesus will glorify him and make a difference. And we need to choose to be what God has called us to be. Resilience is about stepping over or around those obstacles and still pursuing Christ's will for your life. As a pastor and as a church, we're limited to what we can do. But we can decide what we're going to do to step around it and still be effective in the commission that God has called us to do. The Great Commission. And so as we've tried to set up children's ministries, it's there. We still have other ministries that are going on. It's in place. We are gathered together because that's our right and our freedom as Americans to worship. We can do that, but there are still limitations because the offense is still out there. But as we stand, let us stand on solid biblical ground, knowing that there can be consequences, and always behave with graciousness and respect. Ephesians 5:15-20 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a biblical text that points to singing in the rain. Right? We're to walk circumspectly, carefully, not foolishly. We're to remember that each day has evil in it, but know how to deal with it. We are to understand what the will of the Lord is. We're not to be out of self-control, but filled with the Spirit. We're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. May others see that in our heart. And we're to give thanks always for all things in the name of the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So being resilient means we need to wisely use the time we've been given for God despite what may be happening in the world around us. That's that perspective. This is our day. This is what God has given us. We're called to live by His grace through this day. Don't worry about the future and what's going to happen, but look to the future, what God has promised. And let that be a governing factor that our decisions hinge upon. And so, what are we telling ourselves about the obstacles, tragedies, or problems and challenges in this unknown life? We're to listen to ourselves and see what we're saying to ourselves in whatever situation you face. In other words, take time to listen to our attitude of where we are in our circumstance, in our life, or in the world that we live in. And if our attitude is one that's lined up with God, that's pleasing to Him, that's what's most important. And God will give us the grace to live as He would have us to in each day. So in Philippians 4:8, talking about attitude and how we think through the different circumstances, we're reminded that in Philippians 4:8, it says this, so think about these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We need to make sure that what we're thinking about is correct and honoring to God. Self-doubt, fears, and thinking negatively can cause us to stop and not move forward. Our resilience begins in our thoughts. For resilience, stand on the solid rock. And I keep hearing Torn going, rock! And he was saying, stand on the rock, you know, as a backup to the chorus, which was, that kind of stuck with me. And so in Psalm 8:2, in the Contemporary English Bible, it says, the Lord is my solid rock, my fortress, my rescuer. My God is my rock. I take refuge in Him. He is my shield, my salvation, strength, my place of safety. Amen to that? Amen to that. It's a decision that we focus each day in our life that way on Christ, our solid rock. Jesus is not only our Lord, but He's also the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. But I want us to understand that's not just in reference to salvation. It's in reference to how we live our lives by following His way, standing on His truth, and living our life through Him. I am the way. I'm going to live my life in Christ, right? I am the truth. I'm going to stand on truth, and I am the life. I'm going to learn to live that life that God has me to live. So remember, we who are in Christ, and that He is all-powerful, and that He is with us and can keep us moving forward despite what is going on around us. Nobody likes to feel like they're stuck and cemented in one place because of fear of tomorrow. But God wants us to be people of courage and strength and faith and walking with Him so we can move forward through the middle of it. Have resilience and dance in the rain. Have resilience and dance in the rain. Let's go to the Lord. Father, help us to do that. We can only do that through You. I mean, if we're singing in the middle of the rain of the storms of life that You allow to come into our lives, the only thing that can be observed there is the joy in You, a peace in You, and a trust in You, a security in You, a purpose in You, a confidence in You, that only comes by You and through You and not because of our own ability, because we have a sinful nature. And so, Father, help us to cling to You and be close to You and face these days, to face today and the days ahead with a perspective that we will live for you each day and that we will hold on to the promise of the future that you have prepared for us. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.